Let us turn again to the part of God's Word that we read in the book of Psalms, Psalm 122. We shall read the first two verses. Psalm 122, a song of degrees of David. I was glad when they said unto me, Let us go into the house of the Lord. Our feet shall stand within thy gates, O Jerusalem. I was glad when they said unto me, Let us go into the house of the Lord. This psalm is called a Song of Degrees of David. It is a psalm that was sung, no doubt, as the Jews made their ascent to Jerusalem to celebrate the feast days such as the Passover. The two previous psalms, Psalm 120 and Psalm 121, were probably sung when the Jews first started their journey. And when they first sighted Jerusalem, they would lift up their eyes to the hills on which Jerusalem was. And here, in the psalm before us, it appears that they are even now in Jerusalem. Our feet shall stand within thy gates, O Jerusalem. Either they were already in Jerusalem, or they were confident that they would definitely be in Jerusalem, in the city of God. And there is no doubt about the authorship of this psalm, as there may be some doubt in regard to the other psalms. But really, there should be no doubt at all, while we know that this psalm was written by David, the ultimate author of every part of God's Word is God Himself. Every scripture is given by inspiration of God. And one thing is certainly clear in the psalm, and that is the writer, the psalmist, is rejoicing to go to the house of God. I was glad when they said unto me, Let us go into the house of the Lord. He desires to join with others, and is glad when others invite him to go. And we should ask ourselves, are we glad when others invite us to go to the house of God? Let us go to the prayer meeting. Let us go to the public worship of God. Do we love God's house? Do we really love God's worship? Do we really love God's people? Do we desire to be with God's people more than any other people? Which company, which fellowship do we desire most of all? And as we consider these first two verses, we would seek the Lord's gracious help as we consider, first of all, the call to worship. I was glad when they said unto me, Let us go into the house of the Lord. Secondly, the joy of worship. I was glad when they said unto me, Let us go into the house of the Lord. And thirdly, the place of worship. Our feet shall stand within thy gates, O Jerusalem. The call to worship, the joy of worship, and the place of worship. The call to worship. I was glad. In other words, literally, I rejoiced. And what did he rejoice about? I was glad when they said unto me, Let us go into the house of the Lord. He was not only glad to go to the house of the Lord, he was glad when they said unto me, Let us go to the house of the Lord. Others were calling him to worship, and how encouraged he was to join with them in worship. It warmed his heart. It cheered his spirit. You see, God's people are united in their desire to worship the Lord. Does it warm your heart and mind when we see God's people, as few as they are, earnestly desiring so ready to come and worship the Lord? And this gathering is not a mere social gathering. And we're all agreed on that. It's not just friends here inviting friends to come and do something just for friends. No. God Himself is calling us to worship. I was glad when they said unto me, Let us go into the house of the Lord. That's true. Others are inviting the psalmist to go along with them to worship God. But the fact is, the Word of God makes it clear that God Himself commands us to worship Him. as we have in Psalm 96, the psalm that we sang, "O worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness." And that is not just something for people who already know the Lord to worship him. It's not simply friends inviting friends to come and worship God. But the psalmist continues, "Fear before him all the earth." All the earth is to worship God. So all of us are commanded to worship God. It's not just something that it's a suggestion for us. It's not something that the world can look on and say, "Oh, well, those Christians are keen to worship, aren't they?" No, no. All of us are commanded to worship God, the whole earth. And the worship of God is that which is commanded and is acceptable only in God's appointed way. That is, acceptable worship is through Christ the mediator and regulated by his word and his authority. We need to remember whose house it is. Whose house is this that we're speaking of? Let us go into the house. Whose house? Is it the minister's house? Is it the elder's house? Is it the deacon's house? Is it the member's house? The Christian's house? Is it the believer's house? Let us go into the house of the Lord. It's God's house. The house of God our Creator. The one who deserves our worship. He deserves it. It is the house of Jehovah. "I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord," all capital letters, Jehovah, the house of the great I Am. People have been watching the Prime Minister almost every day. But who is looking to the Lord God Almighty as they should? And how clear it is that Jehovah is calling us to worship him. As we sing in Psalm 96, verse 8, "Give unto the Lord," that is Jehovah, "the glory due unto his name. Bring an offering and come into his courts." Do we obey his call? Do we desire to obey his call? Do we heartily concur with it? And does it break our hearts when we feel that there are times and we are not able to carry out those desires? Whose house is this? "I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord." But now we might say, who makes up this house? The house of God consists of persons, and not bricks and stones, as we all know. Though the temple that Solomon built was indeed composed of gold and foundation stones and so on, yet what was its purpose? The purpose of the temple that Solomon built was to manifest God's glory. It was the place where God revealed himself. And that being so, the temple was a reflection or a symbol of the church, because the church is the means of manifesting God's glory. Out of Zion, the perfection of beauty, God hath shined. So the Lord's house is made up of God's dear people. Remember what the apostle says in Hebrews chapter 3, as we read in, there at verse 5 and 6, Moses was faithful in all his house as a servant for a testimony of those things which were to be spoken after, but Christ as a son over his own house. And whose house is that? The apostle says, whose house are we? So the house of God is not a building made of bricks and wood, but the house of God is the people of God, composed, made up of living stones. And how thankful we should be for that. As Martin Luther points out, this is what we behold. This is what we desire to see. This is what we desire to go to, the house of God, not a a temple that is made of beautiful stones, as the Roman Catholics would point to. As Martin Luther says, that's what the Papists would define the temple as, a house built with stones and timber to the honor of God. And he goes on to say, what this temple is, they themselves know not. He says that the temple of Solomon was not therefore a beautiful, it was not beautiful because it was adorned with gold and silver, but the true beauty of the temple was in that place the people heard the word of the Lord. So that is what God's people look forward to, beholding the beauty of the Lord in the house of God, not the beauty of silver and gold and polished stones. If that was all we had to look forward to, there would not be much in our own circle to view. But we are to behold God revealing himself in the public worship, in his house, made up of his people, where he is pleased to reveal himself. The people of God are temples of the Holy Ghost, as the Apostle says. And that is how God reveals himself through his people and through his servants as they meditate upon his word and as they join together in the praises of God. That this is the place of public worship, which we would consider in a few moments. But you see, the psalmist desired to go to Jerusalem, to the house of God, thinking about what Jerusalem is, consisting of the people of God. Again, it's not just the walls and the foundations, but he desired to go to Jerusalem because the people of God invited him to go there to worship the Lord. I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. It is the place where God reveals himself. It is a place of fellowship with God's people. When you think about public worship, and indeed that is what the psalm speaks of, when it says, verse 4, whether the tribes go up, the tribes of the Lord, unto the testimony of Israel, to give thanks unto the name of the Lord, God revealing himself in the means of grace, where the testimony of Israel was, the public testimony, a constant memorial of God's goodness, where the people of God joined together to give a public witness of God's truth and love and grace. That's public worship, a unified public testimony to the truth of God. And that is why David is glad to go to the house of the Lord. So we should exhort one another. It is true that worship is a duty. It is a command of God. But it's also what God's people desire. And they invite one another and they encourage one another to go to the house of God. I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. Believers love the worship of God. And they encourage one another. And how good it is to be encouraged. Surely we've seen that over the last few weeks, when there may be times when we need wisdom from God in an extraordinary manner, and these occasions bring God's people together to discuss the word of God and the principles of God's word. And that is what we should be doing. We should encourage one another and exhort one another, as the Apostle says in Hebrews chapter 3, take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God, but exhort one another daily while it is called today. And so David is glad when he sees this. And that brings us to the second point, the joy of worship. David listened to others of God's people. He listened to the prophet Nathan. He would listen to a wise woman. He was ready to listen where advice was given, even if it was rebuke. He was ready to accept it. And how much more readily he would accept the encouragement to come to the house of God. I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. David didn't have to be coaxed. He didn't need any prodding. He was ready. He doesn't think twice. He gets on his feet. He's up. He's going. He's going up to the house of God. A song of degrees. A song of ascent. Even stairs. Making the journey upwards. It may be difficult at times. There may be stones in the way. But God has promised to keep his people. He says, "He will not suffer thy foot to be moved. He that keepeth thee will not slumber." God will protect his people. We know that. God's word is clear. If we are determined to follow God and do our duty and do God's will, God will keep us safe. We have nothing to fear. David says, "I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord." How joyful he was to honor God. And so it should be for us. It should be our highest priority. Mark that, our highest priority. Not second, not equal, but our highest priority. Other things should always have second place. Job, family, everything else comes second. Now, there may be times when there are emergency situations in which we may lawfully absent ourselves. Now, that's clear from God's word too. But these are exceptions. These are extraordinary situations. And it will be our grief. We'll feel it. Our grief when we cannot attend the public worship of God. It won't be the extra or the new norm, as people call it. Nothing will be normal for God's people when they cannot come to God's worship. And even when the elderly are detained because they're on a sick bed, they're looking forward to the worship of God in heaven, joining with all the people of God, giving the most public testimony of all in heaven to God's love and to God's grace. So we won't be indifferent when it comes to emergency situations. It will not be a joyful thing for us to be absent from God's house. It will be quite the opposite. Like David in Psalm 42, he says, "When shall I come and appear before God? My tears have been my meat day and night, while they continually say unto me, where is thy God? When I remember these things, I pour out my soul in me. For I had gone with a multitude." He's reflecting upon the occasion of going with the people of God to the house of God. "I went with them to the house of God with a voice of joy and praise, with a multitude that kept holy day. Why art thou cast down, O my soul?" He's asking himself that because he is cast down. And he's cast down because he's not going with a multitude that kept holy day, the feast days, the Passover, the Feast of Tabernacles. So David, if he is glad to go with God's people to the house of God, he's also sad when he cannot go with God's people to the Lord's house. And why is he glad when they say to him, "Let us go into the house of the Lord"? Because he is glad to see their devotion. He is glad that there are others like him who desire to worship God, who desire to go to the place where God's honor dwelleth. In other words, he's not alone. He's not the only one in the world who earnestly desires to worship God. When he sees others and hears others encouraging one another to go, that warms his heart. There are others who love the worship of God as he does. And he's also glad for their courage. They're not embarrassed to go worship God. They're not worried about what the neighbors are thinking of them. They're coming through the doors. There may be times of persecution when secret steps in a secret way have to be taken. But overall, God's people are ready, and they are courageous by the grace of God. They are not taken up with what man thinks of them. And that should be an encouragement to us when we see that there are those who are determined to worship God, even in the face of uncertainty. David was glad for the courage that others had in inviting him to worship God. And that's what we need, friends. We need the fear of God and the love of God, because the fear of man bringeth a snare, but whoso putteth his trust in the Lord shall be safe. So that if we're trusting in the Lord, we may confidently say, "He is our helper, and I will not fear what man shall do unto me." He is also glad because he loves to see the communion of the saints. God's people love to have fellowship with one another, to join together in the congregations, in the assembly of the saints, in the place where there are living stones, not dead cumberers of the ground, but living stones, in the place where those living stones are conspicuous. In the world, they just blend in. Sometimes they stand out. It depends on how worldly the world is and how close God's people are to the Lord. But the point is, in the church, when they gather together, the living stones shine. They are offering praise to God. It's where they are conspicuous, and their love to the Lord is most clearly evident in the public means of grace. And so the psalmist is giving expression to this gladness of heart that he is seeing and hearing others invite him to the house of God. And the confession of faith makes it clear from the Word of God that God's people should cherish that communion of the saints. They're united together in love, united to one another in love. They have communion in each other's gifts and graces, and they are obliged to the performance of such duties, public and private, as do conduce to their mutual good, both in the inward and outward man. So the communion of the saints and joining together, it's not a mere social gathering, but it is a gathering, and it's a way of interaction on the spiritual level, all at heart, giving glory to God. I was glad when they, again plural, said unto me, let us, plural, go into the house of God. Our feet, plural, shall stand within thy gates, O Jerusalem. Here is the collective worship. It's not public worship when it's one man alone. It is so unnatural to just stay home Sabbath after Sabbath and not join together with the people of God in public worship. There may be emergency situations, and that will be a trial to God's people. What a trial it has been to some of us, not seeing the Lord's people week after week. But if it is a trial to us, we should be thankful for that, that it has not been a light thing to us, and that our hearts are towards the Lord and his worship and the fellowship of God's people. And so, friends, if it is more than just wanting human company, and people love to see their friends, that is understandable. But if it's more than that, if we desire the company of the Lord's people because they are the children of God, then it is evidence that we are among the sons and daughters of the King, as the Apostle makes so very plain in 1 John chapter 3, verse 14. We know, there's no uncertainty here, we know that we have passed from death unto life because we love the brethren. Do we love the brethren? Do we desire to gather with God's people? I was glad when they said unto me, and you may be saying, well, we would be glad, but this is just a small gathering. Yes, it's a small gathering, but it's a start. And we should be thankful for the beginnings. We should always be thankful for all the goodness of the Lord and all the mercies that he is giving to us day by day. And even when it's a small gathering, we should be thankful that we can be with God's people in a public way, in the public worship. Remember that there are times when there are mixed emotions because of the recollection of former manifestations of God's presence in what he had done for his people in comparison with what it is now. That was just the case when the people of God built the second temple. When the Jews returned from Babylon, they came back to Jerusalem and they laid the foundation for the second temple. There was rejoicing. Of course there was. They sang together by chorus in praising and giving thanks unto the Lord. And so on. Ezra chapter 3, verse 11. And all the people shouted with a great shout, when they praised the Lord because the foundation of the house of the Lord was laid. But many of the priests and Levites and chief of the fathers who were ancient men that had seen the first house when the foundation of this house was laid before their eyes wept with a loud voice, and many shouted aloud for joy. So there was a mixed reaction to the circumstances. On the one hand, it was a new beginning, laying the foundation of the new temple. But on the other hand, it was small in comparison with previous days. And we have a small gathering in comparison with previous gatherings and in comparison with historical gatherings, when you would read of hundreds and thousands of people gathering together for worship. And what are we? 10 or 20 people. And how we need to recognize it is a day of small things, but who hath despised the day of small things? We shouldn't despise it. We should be thankful that we have any day of worship in the Lord's house. I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. Verse 13, so that the people could not discern the noise of the shout of joy from the noise of the weeping of the people, for the people shouted with a great shout, and the noise was heard afar off. There may be many lessons to learn from all that we've been through in the last several weeks, but we should always be thankful. Always be thankful that we can see any of God's people face to face. Well, let us consider thirdly the place of worship. The psalmist says, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. Our feet shall stand within thy gates, O Jerusalem. So the pilgrims have made their ascent to Jerusalem. They lift up their eyes to the hills, and as soon as Jerusalem is in sight, they sing Psalm 121. They know that from the hills where Jerusalem is, where the temple is, that is where they get their help. It is from the Lord who reveals himself in Jerusalem, in the courts of his house. Now they have arrived. They are in Jerusalem. And they are ready to worship the Lord, and they are confident that their feet will stand there within, not outside, but within. Our feet shall stand within thy gates, O Jerusalem. They're not content to stay at home and listen to sermons Sabbath after Sabbath after Sabbath and never see any of the Lord's people. No, our feet shall stand within thy gates, O Jerusalem. They don't want to be outside the sheepfold. They want to be within. And we're not saying that the church is the way of salvation. Not at all, but it is a means of grace. The public preaching of the word is a means of grace, and it is through the preaching of the word that God is pleased to convert sinners. And David and God's true-hearted people desire to be as near as they can to the Lord, and God is near in the means of grace. Our feet shall stand within thy gates, O Jerusalem. The gates remind us of the openings and the channels of interaction, the channels of communication, which we believe is a picture of the means of grace, the channels through which God conveys grace to our souls. You remember the Catechism speaks of to escape the wrath and curse of God due to us for sin. God requires of us faith in Jesus Christ, repentance unto life. With the diligent use of all the outward means whereby Christ communicated to us the benefits of redemption. So the gates of Jerusalem, the gates, remind us of going in and coming out so that God provides an outlet for his grace to flow into our souls. And it's through the word, through prayer and praise and the sacraments and the preaching of the word. And we're reminded again that we should cherish the means of grace. And perhaps one lesson, and other ministers will say so, that God is teaching us that perhaps we have not valued the means of grace as we should have done in times past. And that is certainly a lesson we can learn, that we should prize the means of grace that God has appointed whenever we are deprived of them, whenever we are absent from them, does it stir us up to think about God's goodness in supplying the means, how we should cherish these things, not rely on the means of grace, not idolize them, but use them diligently as if our salvation depended upon it, but trust only in God, as if we didn't use the means at all. We're to look to Christ, who reveals himself in his word. Look to Christ, who is preached in the gospel. And faith cometh by hearing. And let us look to Christ as we hear the word of God. Well, here is the desire of God's people. Our feet shall stand within thy gates, O Jerusalem. Here's a permanent desire to be permanently in the church, to join with what God says in Psalm 132 when he speaks of Zion. He says, this is my rest, here will I dwell. God's people are saying, this is my love, here is where my feet will stand. I desire to be here. As Peter, when he was on the Mount of Transfiguration, he said, it is good to be here. There are times, it's not always the case, but there are times when God's people have received great blessing in their souls from hearing the preaching of the word and being with God's people, and they didn't want to go home. They wanted to stay. They wished the praises of the Lord could go on and on. Well, there are times when, obviously, the means of grace have to be discontinued so that we can go home and rest and come back again next time. But if we've ever had that experience of desiring the praise of the Lord to go on and on, the moment is coming when that will be the case. And the public worship should remind us of heaven. And if we desire to worship God with God's people, it's an evidence that we're on the way to heaven. If we desire to go to the Lord's house on earth, we will be glad when the angels say to us, let us go to the Lord's house in heaven, the house not made with hands. As Spurgeon puts it, he uses one interesting word, our gladness at the bare thought of being in God's house, the bare thought of being in God's house, we're glad just to think of going to God's house. It is detective, it means it's an indication, as to our character, and it is prophetic of our being one day happy in the Father's house on high. So here's a prophecy. If our desire is to God and his worship, it's predicting with certainty that one day we'll be in the Father's house above. So let us pray that this will be our desire. I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord, that we would cherish that desire. And if it's not our desire, then pray that we would have that desire by the Holy Spirit putting it in our hearts, that we would rejoice when others say to us, let us go into the house of the Lord. Pray that we would behold the beauty of the Lord, that we would desire to be near the Lord in his appointed way, that we would come to Jesus Christ, that he would be our all in all, our precious, altogether lovely Savior. Jesus himself is calling. He is saying, look unto me. Are we hearing that call? It should be loud and clear in our souls. The God of heaven speaking to the children of men on earth. Look unto me. Look unto me and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth. For I am God, and there is none else. And if we look to him, we will be enlightened. We will be relieved from all our distresses. And we will be so glad when we are at liberty to go to the house of God and worship him. I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. Our feet shall stand within thy gates, O Jerusalem. Is it our desire? Do you desire to worship God? Do you desire to behold the beauty of the Lord? May it be so, and let us pray. O Lord, enable us to desire above all things thy glory. And indeed, that is why we were created. A man's chief end is to glorify God. and to enjoy him forever. And we pray that thou wouldst open our eyes, and if we are thy people, open our eyes even more clearly to see the glory of Christ, and that we would see the beauty of the Lord, and all that it makes him lovely in the view of thy people, the glorious, wonderful attributes of God, the wisdom and power and goodness and grace of God, all exercised on behalf of thy people. Oh, what precious promises we have that are opened up and proclaimed in the public worship, that glorious assurance that Christ gives us, that he will build his church and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Oh, that we would look to Jesus who loved the church and laid down his life, whose precious blood was shed for the church, and he will not lose his possession, his precious dear ones for whom he shed his blood. Be gracious to us, Lord. Help each and every one of us in our particular needs. Keep us safe. Uphold us in every way. And pardon our many sins. For Jesus' sake, amen. We shall conclude singing to God's praise from Psalm 100. Mr. Ben Callaghan, would you sing? Psalm 100. All people that on earth do dwell, sing to the Lord with cheerful voice, him serve with mirth, his praise forth tell. Come ye before him and rejoice. Know that the Lord is God indeed. Without our aid he did us make. We are his flock, he doth us feed, and for his sheep he doth us take. O enter then his gates with praise, approach with joy his courts unto. Praise, laud, and bless his name always, for it is seemly so to do. For why? The Lord our God is good, his mercy is forever sure, his truth at all times firmly stood, and shall from age to age endure. Psalm 100, the first version of the psalm, from verse 1, all people that on earth do dwell. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Ghost be with you all. Amen.